really understand and comprehend the wages of sin. We might call this the wages and the gift. Do we really understand the wages of sin? Do we really understand the gift that God has given to us? And it's all based on Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Do we really understand both sides of that equation? How horrible it is to be a sinner. How awful our condition was without Jesus. And how great it is what God has given to us. Not just paid the price so we could be forgiven and then said, now try to keep the law again, but he gave us a whole new way of relating to him. We're his children. And we're saved by grace through faith. And so do we understand and comprehend the wages of sin? Do we comprehend and appreciate really the great gift that God has given to us? I want to look at a story. It's found in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, that I think illustrates why this is so important that we understand and we comprehend these things. But another way of thinking about this would be to ask ourselves this question. How do we see ourselves? When you stop and you think about yourself this morning, you know, which of those two best applies to you? When you think deep down in your heart about, you know, your life and your relationship with God, I am wrong and bad, or I am right and good. So how do you view yourself and your relationship with God? We'll come back to that and talk about it in just a moment. But let's read here, beginning in Luke 7, verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, teacher, say it. Jesus said, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. One owed 500, one owed 50. Neither could repay, and so he freely forgave them both. Jesus said, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon said, I suppose the one he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. So this is a well-known story about Simon the Pharisee. He invites Jesus into his house. And this woman comes in, a woman, it says, who was a sinner. And I want to suggest, first of all, this story's not really about the woman. I mean, she's a beautiful illustration of God's love and mercy. You know, and she's represented, I think, by that 500 denarii debtor that was forgiven. And Jesus did tell her, woman, your sins are forgiven. So she does illustrate that no matter what sins we have committed, you know, she was a woman who was a sinner, and she was forgiven by God. And so it is encouraging to us to know that, you know, Jesus forgave her. We can be encouraged that he will forgive us of anything that we have done. She certainly does teach that lesson. I think she understood that because that's why she was, you know, worshiping Jesus the way that she was, why she was showing her love for him like she did. And so that's a story, a lesson we certainly get from this, but I think the main story is really about Simon. You know, Jesus addresses this parable to Simon, It's a lesson that he needs to think about. I think Simon is a good example of someone who does not understand the wages or the gift of God. He doesn't really think he's that bad of a guy. He thinks he's pretty good. And he doesn't really appreciate Jesus. You know, the woman, she knows she's a sinner. And she understands that Jesus still loves her. And that's why she responded the way that she did. You know, Simon, I think, would check number two. I'm pretty good. I'm right. You know, he's one of the Pharisees. And I'm pretty good. The woman, no doubt, would check, you know, number one. She felt like she was bad. She felt like she was wrong. She knew that she was a sinner. And I think there's two reasons why this story is so important. Number one, I think what the story shows is that there's a correlation between our awareness of our sin. Do we comprehend the wages and the gift? And how we respond in our worship to God. You know, how much emotion do we put into it? How excited are we to worship? How meaningful are the songs that we sing? How, you know, precious is the Lord's Supper every Sunday? There's a direct correlation between our awareness of our sin and what Jesus has done for us and how meaningful our worship is to us. That's exactly what Jesus said in this passage. He said to the person who thinks they're being forgiven little, you know, they're going to love little. And he said the person who knows they've been forgiven a lot, they're going to love a lot like this woman has loved. You know, whose is our worship most like? Are we like Simon? And I guess it was nice that he invited Jesus to come to his house. And, you know, he's very cordial, but he doesn't show any emotion whatsoever. And the reason is because he doesn't really recognize that he is a sinner. And he doesn't recognize what a great and wonderful thing that Jesus has done for him. We need to be more like the woman. We need to recognize that we are sinners, that God has given us this wonderful gift. And if we did appreciate that, if we did understand that, then we would be excited to worship God and be moved, you know, by every reminder of what God has done for us, how great it is. You know, one thing Isaac does when he leads singing sometimes, he'll stand down there in the middle. Last week he stood there and he sang the song Amazing Grace, right? Yeah. And it's funny when we do something like that, everybody really enjoys it. I mean, we're singing the same song that we always sing, but we're just changing things up a little bit. And it's something that's really hard for us to stay emotional, stay excited in our worship. And people want emotional worship. When you do things exactly the same way for 50 years, it's really difficult to stay, you know, an emotionally high level about that. And so it's good to change things up and do things like that. And, you know, within reason, it's acceptable to do that because we are weak human beings. We need help. But the real solution is we need to understand that we're sinners. Now, I want to suggest also that we should say I'm wrong and bad, but really, if we're Christians, we can say today, I'm right and good. But the point is, it's not because of us. Because left to myself, I'm wrong and bad. I don't know everything exactly right, and I have sinned. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And so looking at ourselves, we're wrong and bad, but we are in Jesus, right? And we're good. We've been justified by God's grace. But we need to remember, it's not me, you know, that has attained this status. It's Jesus. And so, yeah, we can rejoice about our standing with God, but it's because of Jesus. It's in spite of our weaknesses and the sins that we have committed. You know, another reason why this is very important to understand, I believe, is because our appreciation for the wages of our sin and the gift of God really affects how we view other people. If we think we are right, we know everything right, and we are good based on our own wisdom, our own strength, then there's a real tendency to look down on others who aren't right and good, who aren't doing as well as we are doing. You know, we become proud of that. Look at how good we are. And we look down on others who are not where we are. And so we began to look down on others What do you think Simon did when that woman walked in? Do you think he ran up to her and hugged her real big and said, "We are so glad you are here"? I don't think so. I think he just probably ignored her. And then when she sat down, he was just kind of, the Bible says, watching her, looking at her, you know, staring at her. We all know how that would feel. And it's because he thought he was so righteous. But she wasn't worried about it. You know, she was just glad to be in the presence of Jesus. We tend to look down on other people if we're not aware of the fact that we also are sinners. I want to tell a story. I told this on Wednesday night a few weeks ago. Just a few of you were here then, so bear with me if you've heard it, but it'll be new to others. There's a story about a lady who was shopping at Nordstrom's in Beverly Hills, probably the fanciest Nordstrom's on the planet, I would suppose, during the Christmas holidays, and they had the Christmas music going, and they had all the decorations, and she was shopping, and in walked a bag lady, you know, off the street. You know, and everybody notices when something like that happens. And so she kind of observed the situation, fully expecting, you know, the security to be called, right, and escort her out. But what happened was, surprising, the highest salesperson on the staff went immediately to this woman and said, "Welcome to Nordstrom's. How can we help you?" And there the lady was. You know, she had a little duffel bag or, you know, and all of her possessions probably. And there she was, and she said, "Well, I need a new dress." So the lady took her to, you know, a certain part of the store, and they sat down, and she talked to her, and she looked at her eye color, and she looked at her hair color, and she talked to her about the color of her eyes and her hair, and what colors would look good, and what kind of dress was she looking for. And they talked for a few minutes, and then they went to the dresses, and they picked out five or six. And she said, "I want you to try every one of these on." And so she tried on all the dresses one by one, and they talked about how each one looked. And then after going through all the dresses, the lady said, "Well, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm not going to buy a dress today." And the lady said, "Well, here's my card. I want you to take my card. And if you ever change your mind, I want you to call me personally, and we will be glad to help you find the dress that you need." And so the lady left the store. Now the woman who was watching all this, the shopper, you know, she was astounded. And so she went up to the sales lady. She wanted to ask her, "Why did you do that?" But before she could ask her anything, she noticed she had a pin on her dress. It said, "WWJD, what would Jesus do?" And she said, "Then I understood that this lady wanted to make the woman feel special. She wanted to show her that someone loves her, that someone does care about her. Someone's not going to judge her, you know, because of mistakes that she has made." And the woman said, you know, she tries to make people feel special. Well, the woman who was the shopper, it's a true story. She told the story to her pastor, and the pastor told it to his church the next Sunday, and from there it got circulated in other church bulletins and publications and went viral. And finally, somehow it came to the ears of the CEO of Nordstrom's, and he was so impressed by that story, he now makes it an official part of the first day training for every new Nordstrom's employee, that they have to hear that story. What a great example she set. And so the lesson for us is, you know, we need to be careful, because we maybe have gotten along further in our spiritual journey than others, not to think that we are better than others, but we need to treat people. When you think about how Jesus treated us, we're like that woman who came in the store. You know, and Jesus was willing to die for us on the cross. And we're like that lady also, in that most of us walk away and say, "Well, I'm not interested today. Never was interested to begin with." But that doesn't matter. You know, Jesus still died for us. And he still wants to give us his card and say, "You know, if you ever change your mind, you know, I'm here to help you in whatever way you need." So, you know, we learn from that we need to care about other people, and we need to help other people, and we need to, you know, not judge other people. We need to realize that we were in the same position that they were in. And it's only by God's grace that we have gotten to where we are now. And so we need to treat them the way that Jesus would treat them. We need to think about how good God has been to us. Even though we are sinners and we don't deserve a thing, He sent His Son and let Him die on the cross for our sins. Just hoping, you know, that we would appreciate that and that we would be saved because He loves us so much. Jesus died for each and every one who is here this morning. We need to appreciate that and strive to be like Him in how we treat people. We're going to sing one more song today, and I hope everybody will think